Well, hello. This is Mark DiValenti, and as we are embarking on season two of Brain Burrow, I wanted to call out one of our biggest sponsors, Delirium Magazine, presented by Full Moon. Delirium Magazine is committed to bringing you the best in cult, horror, sci-fi, fantasy, and exploitation. And what I love about Delirium Magazine is they really kind of skirt the edge and are going places that perhaps other magazines don't go. They sort of review popular movies in a different way, and they really focus on some cult classics as well. I happen to have these here because I'm actually a fan of the magazine. So go visit deliriummagazine.com, take a look at all their amazing content, and consider subscribing.
Dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind, it's time for Mark DiValenti and Brain Burrow.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark DiValenti, and this is another episode of Brain Burrow. This is one of our digging deep sessions where we have a chance to talk to our guest. Our guest has a chance to share about his life, what he hopes, what he dreams, what he fears, what he values. And then you as a listener and viewer have a chance to say, how does this apply to me? So I'm extremely pleased to have on the show today Rob Mello, and I want to hand it over to him by asking the big open-ended question, who exactly is Rob Mello?
I've been wrestling with this shit all damn day. And, wasn't that, but, you know, since you posed the question, nobody really poses that fucking question. Sorry, but I don't know. I'm a friend, a lover, a hater, if you're an asshole. I'm a lot of things to a lot of different people, but I mean, I think the question is, what am I to I? And my own worst enemy.
Okay. So talk more about that. What do you mean by that? You're your own worst enemy.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, but not everybody is aware of it.
The most difficult, the toughest enemy to beat is yourself. Mm. You know what I mean? You're your most harsh critic. I don't think anybody's ever called me fucking the names I've called myself to my face. So, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It brings about Catholicism, you know, flagellation. Not that I practiced that or, you know, any crazy shit like that. No, it's the guilt. For what though? I put a video up. I came across a street preacher in where the hell was it? Fort Wayne. No, Fort Worth. Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Forts. There's too many forts.
Too many, yes. So one of the forts, yes.
Yeah. The one in Texas. But no, it was Fort Worth, and it's a cow town. I've never been in a town like that before. It was beautiful. People were great, you know, all that shit. But there was this street preacher on, like, I guess the main drag of Fort Worth, right? It's kind of like Bourbon Street. You know, every town has their drag. And that was it. And like this dude was in the corner and he was just fucking yapping, you know what I mean? And talking about shit that he had no fucking clue what he was talking about. And I asked him, why was I born in sin? He's like, well, that's, you know, that's God's doing and shit. And I'm like, well, then what kind of loving dad does that shit? None. A sadistic fuck. Done. And so when I turned 10, I was like, I mean, I realized that shit a long fucking time ago, dude. And it just, it really made me start to question every other teaching that I was taught by anybody up until and past that point, still, you know.
Sure.
But what was the question?
That's all right. It was more about understanding you and who you are. And I think you actually hit on a good point here, right? You talk about your questioning things. You seem to be questioning sort of these established belief systems. Have you ever got to a point when you haven't questioned?
Where I've understood the system.
Where you've not questioned things. I mean, it seems like you're constantly questioning sort of the doctrine, right? You're questioning authority. You're questioning their religious doctrine. Is there ever a time whenever Rob Mello doesn't question?
I can't even say when I'm asleep. Nah, when I'm dead, I'd imagine. But even then.
Right. So it's your thing to constantly question things, which is fine, which is great. I think that's part of who you are. I mean, the original question is, who are you? And you've done a great job of answering that about you're just somebody who just constantly questions things.
No argument there.
Okay. So you also talked about, when I asked you who you are, you said you're a lover and a hater, right? So those are pretty extreme examples, a lot of passion behind that. So would you say that you're a passionate person?
Very much so.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me how that's played out in your life.
I'll tell you a perfect fucking example. My ex-wife was breaking up with her boyfriend that was after me. And with friends, of course. And, you know, she was like, I told him he's got to get the fuck out of my life. And it was just like RoboCop, nothing. Nothing was there, you know? He's like, okay. When that happened to me, I flipped TVs. I lost my fucking mind. You know, I'm like, no. I'm, you know, crying and begging and pleading and fucking and doing whatever I could, getting tattoos like a fucking idiot. And for it, because I wouldn't say that I was. That my upbringing quite so much had to do with my notion of attachment and love and a sense of this place, you know, that we live in. I'd say it's a solid ass combination of experience and teaching, because I was taught the ideal. And I try to live to the ideal because it's a good one. And quite often I fucking fail. I fail chronically all day, every day.
Yeah, that's a very
I do it with style.
Because it's a very honest answer, you know, and you seem to embrace this idea that you do fail, because a lot of people don't want to talk about how they fail, but it sounds like you embrace that idea.
Yeah. Information hits us differently. You know what I mean? What could be fucking, you know, profound to me might not be to you or somebody else, whatever, and vice versa. But like the notion that Edison, and don't get me started with Edison Tesla shit. We're not talking about that.
Okay.
But Edison failed 189 times, something like that. And then, you know, the 190th, he fucking succeeded. So that's that's what it takes to fucking, well, fuck, that's what it takes to be me. I don't know what it takes to be you.
Fair. No, I think, you know, it makes sense as you're talking about it, right? I mean, you got to fail before you succeed. But a lot of people do not embrace failure. A lot of people try to avoid it. A lot of people refuse to be the person that they want to be because they're afraid of failing. And it seems like...
Or rejection,
right? Yeah. There's a fear of that.
You know, a lot of people are avoiding who they are out of fear of rejection from their family.
Yeah.
The people they love, the people that are supposed to love them, fucking bar none. They're scared of that. And that, fuck, what a shitty spot that is to be in, huh?
Yeah, you're right.
But if you come out on the other side, man, what strength.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, Rob. I mean, have you always been this way? Like, are you just willing to push through and just recognize that there's risks and you just keep pushing through? I mean, is this the way you've always been, or is this something you had to learn?
I mean, there was... There's always times where... apologies, but there's always times you're going to be scared.
Yeah.
I mean... Being scared is a natural human thing, and it tells your body, it's your brain telling your body something's at fucking stake here. So, you know what I mean? Nut up, or whatever, however you want to put it.
Sure.
But fucking nut up and, you know, get your shit done.
Yeah.
Because in the end, it's going to be my name on the fucking gravestone, not yours. Not Sister Mary Margaret's, not fucking anybody's, but yours.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So fucking make it worth it. You know what I mean? Like, I want a gravestone where people, if they sit on it long enough, it activates like a fucking song, you know, What a Wonderful World or some shit like that, you know, just so that, you know, like, I don't know, fuck it. My grandkids, my kids. I don't give a shit who.
Yeah.
Come by, have a beverage, sit on my fucking head, and be like, what a wonderful world.
That's inspirational. I mean, that really is, right? So it's... So it sounds like you put a value on inspiring people.
I like doing it. I know I've done it.
Okay.
I like doing it.
Yes.
It's strange to have that come at you. I've had a dude that used to be a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking really good. White boy out of Alabama. I mean, but he went to school, you know. Really proud of this guy, you know. I think he's got a master's in like fucking finance or something by now, you know. Really good dude. But he, because I started acting, because he saw me on TV and he knew me, he worked with me. We worked a fucking grill at Cracker Barrel together, you know. And he's like, dude, I started fucking writing lyrics again. And I wanted to tell you that you're why. Huh? I don't get it, dude. I'm just trying to make a couple bucks, dude, you know? And he's like, dude, no, you have no idea. And then my cousin, she was a photographer. And through a shitty choice in men and circumstance, she lost her camera equipment. Oh, little puppy. But then she went to the not the Five and Dime, what is that, the hawk shop, the pawn shop, and grabbed the fucking camera, you know, and started snapping fucking photos again. And that stuff, that's actually why I want to keep doing it, because I want to get that character, that Captain Jack Sparrow, for instance. I'd love to land that character and then go to the hospitals and, you know, make people smile, you know, because I shit, it's Captain Jack, you know. And people have that reaction, you know, and it's a really cool thing to be able to wield.
Yeah.
And I try to wield it as best I can at all times, on set, afterwards, during, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's clear. I mean, even just, you know, having met you myself, you're constantly trying to help people. I see you out there, like you're trying to share your wisdom, you're trying to share experiences. You're there helping and inspiring people. And I think that says a lot about your character.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's my pleasure. And just to hear about just the influence you've had on just a few different people in your life just now, I mean, clearly the circle of your influence seems like it goes pretty far.
I don't know, dude. As far as it, I don't know. I guess as far as the words make sense to people.
Hmm.
You know, when they can relate, that somebody's listening.
Sure.
That always helps. You know, shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that, like, somebody actually gives a fuck.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, again, it's up to the person to receive the information that you're sharing. You know, and are they keeping their ears closed, or are they actually open to what you're saying? And it sounds like when people are open, you have a lot to say, and I think that's a positive.
So
yeah,
I sound like an asshole.
Well, let me ask you this though, Rob. I mean, I'm wondering, what do you think people sort of misinterpret about you? I'm sure people have certain opinions about you, and I'm wondering, what do you find people misinterpret about you, or kind of are wrong about you, basically?
Oh, because this is the only real time that it happened. But I was managing a pizza joint in Alabama, and long hair, real hippie, like, you know, peace, love, and shit. And I'm the manager, right? And one of my drivers was like a union shit kicker. I mean, Alabama. Just think Alabama. And he, like, kind of, you know, with the char in, kind of guffawed at me. And he was like, fuck you know about the military? Nothing. You fucking asshole. I'm like, what do you know? Have you ever served? No, but I love America. I'm like, yeah, okay, what? So do I. So much so that I joined two different fucking military branches, you asshole. So,
wow.
Question my patriotism, suck my ass, the entire damn thing. You know, and just it kind of blew his mind, because in his mind, the construct of pussy liberal is this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, I can put a roundup of flea's ass from a half a mile away. I can outrun, outfight, outfuck 99.9% of men alive today.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, thanks for sharing that specific story. I think it obviously impacted you. Like this guy had made assumptions about you and was way off, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, fuck you, dude. And he was union, and I'm like,
right.
You know what I mean? I kind of had to reevaluate, you know, his employment, right? Right. Quick.
Right. I mean, he was pretty. No, awesome. No.
He's a good dude. We're still friends. But he fucked up in front of his kid, is what it was. You know, he made an assumption about another man, and went to show his kid how it's done, and got his dick smacked in the dirt. Fucking frankly,
right.
And you know, I'm just like, nope, not even that guy,
right? Nah.
Because by like every metric of masculinity he had, I far outdid his father.
Yeah, right. So he screwed it up in front of his kid there for sure.
Yeah, dang. But it was cool.
And yeah,
I think the kiddo is doing really good. Me and his dad keep in touch every now and then.
Well, and I think that says a lot that you've kept in contact with him even after all this. And I'm sure that wasn't the only altercation y'all had either.
Yeah, it was really. That was like the culmination of a few little, you know, little things, you know, little nigglings and shit. This is during George W. Bush. So.
Right.
And so, I mean, I'm a Boston fucking white boy liberal in rural Alabama.
Right.
But they fucking loved it when I said car. So.
So your Boston dialect there definitely won them over a bit, I guess.
It's nothing more annoying than fucking having to go to a party and be like, you know, have like 30 of your boys be like, hey, Rob, come here. Talk to this girl right quick. What do you want me to say? Say car. I'm like, car. You know,
right.
It's just a busted fucking ball, you know?
And yeah, and I know that you look at any opportunity to try to like just get people, you know, off their, knock them off balance a little bit. That's for sure. So I like that about.
Nobody needs that shit. Come on.
Well,
if you ain't living on your toes, you ain't fucking dancing.
Oh, you're right. Good. That's a fantastic point. Let me ask you this though, Rob. I mean, you know, again, knowing you, and I just know that you just have a lot. Like, it's a lot of passion, a lot of internal drive. And I want to know more about what drives you. Like, what gets you up and out of bed in the morning? What gets you going? Like, what drives Rob Mello?
They're sleeping in the other room.
Okay. So, talk about that. Because obviously your family has a huge influence on you. So talk about that.
Everybody does. The fucking beautiful chick sitting right here.
Okay. So your family, the ones that are close around you, drive you, right?
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's pebble on, excuse me, pebble in the lake. You know what I mean? You're fucking ripples.
Okay.
And I know it's not just the fucking people around me that I get up for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the people that I care about that aren't here. You know, I understand, you know, this is fucking home base. This, you know, just so happens to be here. And this is where these certain set of people are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's people all over the fucking world that I'd happily toast Europe for.
Okay. So the ripple effect, as you're talking about, is not just who you can see in your immediate household, but it goes beyond that. It sounds like your influence goes well beyond who you can see day to day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of the weird part of working as an actor. If you get it, and it's a fucking crapshoot, you know. Happy Death Day was a fucking independent horror film that was casting locally in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
you know? So shit, what was the original question?
That's right. It was more about the influence that you had around people. And it sounds like through your acting that you also feel like you influence people as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm just me. I've always been me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is me.
Mm-hmm.
And hey.
And take it or leave it, right?
And I don't care if I'm opposite Denzel Washington or I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things that pisses me off about the filmmaking world is how they, the stratification of the society, you know, within the film crew, you know, that shit really pisses me off. Like on a certain Western film set.
Okay.
I was in my, you know, I was at my one, and you know, my one was basically my home base. It was the bank. And this older lady, Margaret, I think her name was. Yeah, Margaret. She was, and this is period clothing in Baton Rouge in August and July. Fucking miserable. And like, I shit you not, her face was beat fucking red. And she's just, you know, doing the dress flap. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And you could tell she was going to get ill soon. And I was like, whoa, why don't you go to where the holding was for, like, you know, Pratt and Denzel and all them motherfuckers. I'm like, why don't you go over there? And she's like, no, we're not allowed over there. Bullshit. So I had heard, well, overheard the prop guy, like, berating all the background people, saying, wherever your prop goes, that's where you go. Bah, 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 bah. You know, kind of real drill sergeant-like. So she had a basket, and I snatched it up. I was like, well, follow me, because, you know, I'm going. I went to the fucking principal's area, plopped her basket right on top of the, you know, they got these blowing machines. And I told everybody, you know, I snatched the chair and I put it in front. And y'all, this is Margaret. She's kind of feeling hot and she needs a little bit of AC. Pratt came over and offered water and stuff like that. Ethan Hawke grabbed it quicker. it was like a, I don't know, fucking competition or whatever, but
right.
But you know, everybody came to take care of Margaret. But nobody saw that she needed it in the first place.
Right. So you looked at yourself as sort of an advocate for her, and you led the charge in getting her what she needed. And I think that says a lot about you and your character.
No, I think it's like being human.
You still made a choice to do that. A lot of people may not have made that choice. A lot of people were like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to break the rules. But you made that choice, Rob. And I think that, again, to help her, you decided to take a risk, which is really what this is about today in our conversation, about taking a risk and doing what's right. So that's a huge positive. And so, Rob, I think as we are actually almost out of time, I wanted to give you another question of mine, which is, what bit of advice would you give the listeners and viewers out there about anything, about living their life, anything that maybe Rob Mello may want to give advice about? What would you give advice to listeners and viewers?
You're going to be scared, but you can't act scared.
Okay.
You're dumb as fuck. You don't know shit about shit. And so you need to keep learning more, more, more. Enjoy the beauty of the place. Enjoy your fucking time. Because flowers grow in the cracks of the street.
That's beautiful. Truly is. It is really about being mindful in the moment. And I like how you said about being humble, right? Being humble means that you always have more to learn, and you're saying, go out there and learn more, keep growing, keep learning. So I think that's another important point. So thank you for sharing that. So Rob, I want to thank you for being on the show today and sharing your advice and sharing a bit about you personally. And it has been a pleasure talking with you.
I hope I didn't suck.
You were fine. You were, as long as you're your authentic self, then you did not suck. So I believe that you are your authentic self.
Man, just make me look cool. That's all I've ever asked any editor. Just make me look cool, man.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to edit much of this at all because you're already out there. So no, but you're your authentic self, and that's what matters. So I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me,
Big. That's my it's my pleasure. And of course, I want to thank the listeners and viewers for tuning in today. And on behalf of Rob Mello, this is Mark DeValenti signing off for Brain Burrow. Have an amazing rest of your day.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? Follow Mark on Instagram at ValentiHorror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.